I am so pleased to have my brothers here and behind the camera. This is the crew of the Bass Pro Tour. So not all, but I'd say the core is here.
We're the ones that can stay up late enough to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is going to be our pass around mic. So if you want to talk, you need to use this stick mic. It's also a glad bag.
Close to you.
It's also the conch.
It also. So we're going to be going through the Bass Pro Tour 2023 season, and it's going to be a lot of fun. What it's like for the crew to go through a season of ups and downs and weather, and it's we're gonna cover it all, or at least a lot, you know,
a
big portion. And Pell, I think you're gonna start it off, but let's get this podcast started.
This isn't another fishing podcast. This is another fishing podcast.
So we just got off the water. This is day five of stage seven of the Bass Pro Tour on Saginaw Bay, and it has been an amazing week. I mean, we'll get into it. It's been very momentous. Kevin Van Dam, it's his last regular season tournament, and I have had the pleasure of filming him this week. It's kind of like, for a bass nerd like I am, it's kind of like pinch me, you know? So I I've almost gotten a little emotional. Actually, I have gotten emotional. I'll be honest, today.
Did you cry?
I was crying in the boat. And I was like, I hope Van Dam's not seeing me weeping right now.
Has because Van Dam cried in the boat yet?
He end there. Maybe Kelly, did you see it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he cried on the.
But he didn't put hooks in you.
No. So that's the thing that's really amazing about the whole week is the fact that, you know,
this is your last chance of getting back for that.
Remember, when you speak, you need the magic wand.
I'm just talking into your chest.
Well, that's true. That's true. You guys are probably okay. Anybody more on the periphery? But yeah, it was like, so we'll talk more into, but it was everybody's exhausted because this is a big body of water. I was in the waves pretty much all day. I know some of you guys were too. But, you know, managing that whole thing with, you know, how big this day is in bass fishing and filming the biggest thing in bass fishing, you know, the GOAT, it was extremely exhausting, but like, it was just like kind of an emotional roller coaster all day for a bass nerd who's lucky enough to do this. I know some of you guys are like, lucky? But, and sometimes I'm like, I am not lucky. But today felt lucky. So it was really cool day.
You started working with Kevin like in the 90s, right?
I first met him like officially. I got an internship in 1999, the summer of 99, with Bass Pro Shops. Yeah. And that's when I first started just kind of working, you know, getting to meet like pros and stuff. And and I think I might have met him officially through Bass Pro that summer. And then 2000 is when I started, like January of 2000, I started working with Bass Pro Shops and the video department. And then I started working with him. I shot a retail video with him in 2001 after he won the Classic. And then I was in a commercial with him. A Nitro commercial. So got hooked by him in the very
with
first
him?
Bat. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Tape, like you and
yeah. Yeah. This is I'm going to make a reel out of it and put it up probably right after this, but
I need music.
Yeah.
So I was going through in those early days in Bass Pro Shop. And I remember going through and looking up, they had all the videos and stuff, and I went, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was Greg.
Yeah, I finagled. I mean, it's another story, but I finagled my way. I saw there was a little window of opportunity to get on camera on a gig. I just saw it. It's a long story, but I went boom. And I wedged myself in there and allowed for opportunities like that and then doing other on-camera stuff. Tom Stone and I have worked.
What was that name?
That was called.
Jeez. Hold on.
Easy. This isn't Bass Pro. This is actually mine. Stay this isn't the Bass Pro Tour
Kelly
mic.
Won't
so
fix this. Kelly can't.
Yeah,
fix
Kelly
this.
Won't fix that. No. And I won't fix it either. I have no idea how to fix
that. What was the name of that show?
It was called Roll With It.
Roll with it.
Did you work at Roll With It?
I think one.
Yeah, me too.
So, out on a farm.
Yeah. And that was my favorite episode, by the way. I loved interacting with that guy, and it was great working with you. But anyway, so I worked on a truck show.
the episode I worked on was his favorite.
He did.
It was a lot of fun. I took it for granted, actually, that whole time period. But a lot of fun. But anyway, so it was just a lot of stuff going on today. It was, number one, I think I said it was exhausting, but also very memorable. But I appreciate you guys being here and just talking over the season. We did it last year at Mille Lacs, and it was a lot of fun just hearing from you guys. So I wrote some notes, but by no means we can go anywhere with this. But first off, I want to refresh your memory. Okay, so this was the season. Okay, the Bass Pro Tour season was this. It was Kissimmee Chain in Florida. It was, I'm trying to get out of this intro phase of this podcast.
Oh, we're still in the intro.
Okay. And then we did stage two, Lake Norman in North Carolina. Stage three was Lake Murray. Okay. Stage four was the Gunt, Lake Gunnersville. Stage five, Cayuga Lake. A lot of controversies there. We got to be careful, but that was But that was through a press release, so I feel like, Stage six, Lake St. Clair, and then stage seven, last tournament, Saginaw Bay. So do you guys have does anything stand out to you this season? No, let's just pass it around. No more throwing it.
So we're only talking about the BPT.
Yes. I mean, you can. You can, sure. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Well,
I've been trying to think of this past year, and just to give a little indication of like what this job does to all of us and our minds and our psyches is, I can't remember a thing. I mean, there were monumental moments and events and amazing champions and incredible fish, and I've thought about all day on the water shooting. I'm thinking, preparing for this, I'm thinking, I'm blanking. It's so funny. But and another thing that's indicative of what we do, and like, I don't know. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, you're
badmouth it.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. I love it. But I'll get with an angler. I'll jump in their boat in the morning, and we're just chatting. They'll be like, "Hey, who'd you have yesterday?" And I go,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
I actually get a little scared.
That you're getting old.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yes.
And maybe it's time.
My age, I'm 50.
Maybe it's time for the
plus.
Home.
It might be.
So what's the line you say about this job?
The best way I describe this job, and again, I love it. I actually believe I might, if I won the lottery, I might do this for free. I seriously might. I might go with somebody like Ott today. In the canals, and not out on the lake. Yes, yes.
Just because you're rich now.
I've got to have some hand here.
You can choose your days.
Yeah.
So show up.
I want to go with somebody. No, the best way I describe this job to people that aren't in the industry, I go, one day I'm like, man, I can't believe they pay me to do this. The very next day, man, they don't pay me enough to do this.
I know. I feel the same way.
But it's a hoot.
I feel like I have an advantage, sort of, in the fact that I'm a bass nerd. I mean, I was as a kid, I was really out of control. But I'm, I don't follow it like I used to. But still, I go when I like days like today where Kevin qualified for the championship on his last, tournament, regular tournament season ever. It's his last tournament. I feel like I'm very lucky, But yeah, you get those days where it's February and it's sleeting on you, but I've thought about this too. I can't have a regular office job. I think we talked about this last year too. But it's just. Kelly's showing a picture of, when Dustin fell out of the boat. Yeah.
Really
let me see.
Yeah.
Let me see it again.
Yeah. And
Kelly also removed implanted earplug from your
when they got stuck in my
ear.
It was
you. Bill, I think from multiple
people.
That was on
an invitational, but yeah, he had to.
Greg, you're going to be able to.
No, that wasn't. That was a cup. That was Lake Fork.
I don't remember where it was, but I know Dr. Kelly took care of it.
I know where it was.
He dug in there. And Dustin, it was in a room. We were in a room. We weren't outdoors.
A room similar to this. Cameras everywhere. No, but smaller.
Kelly got it out with like some pliers, and much to Dustin's dismay, he said, "Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. You need to go to the hospital. You need to go to the hospital." But Dr. Kelly, I trusted. If he can work on the cameras and everything, he can work on my ear.
What happened? I don't even remember. Yeah, I don't think I ever got the full story on that.
You know, your earbuds, we all have to wear to listen. Got the earbuds in. When I pulled it out, the little rubber piece stayed in, which I didn't even realize at all until I went to put the earpiece back in and shove that thing all the way, the rubber thing, all the way down in my ear. And it hurt like the rest of the day. I was on the boat going, oh.
Well, yeah.
What is going on? And I didn't know it was the rubber thing in there.
Oh, no.
And I was like, man, something is going on. But it wasn't a big deal. It was just annoying. But I got back to the room. I go, something's going on in my ear. I think maybe the earbud is in there.
Still didn't.
No, because everybody was looking.
We shined a flashlight in there.
They were looking in there going, it's not there.
No, we saw it eventually.
No, once you got the flashlight. Yeah. But in the car, remember, it was like, I don't see anything.
It was way down there.
Hey, can I see this mic for a second? What is this?
It's protection.
Oh, no, that's a mic protection. Sorry, I didn't. Sorry. Just want. Hey, I wanted.
But anyway, Kelly got it out with a pair of pliers.
Kelly's like it's like a very paternalistic, situation going on here. He takes care of us. He's like our dad, sort of, in a way, right?
I was thinking more like Hagrid in Harry Potter.
Okay. Yes. I don't watch those
shows. He's like the
shows.
Adult supervision.
Yeah.
Let's get back on.
So but first let's talk about Tom's.
That has nothing to do with
the Noodlers. That's a minor league team. It's a flathead catfish.
Yeah. Shirt. Eating a person. You see their legs.
I love that.
Out.
So minor league teams have the best mascots.
Yeah, well,
the
Noodlers want one home stand every summer.
What? I appreciate you. Is a really fantastic shirt.
Thank you.
Cheery,
very cheery.
Yeah.
I do want it. We do need to get to your story. So how did you fall out? Set up that whole thing.
Well, I don't. It's one of those things where you don't. I don't drive a boat. I'm not a professional fisherman or boat driver or anything that qualifies me to like draw any conclusions about what really happened. But, from my standpoint, it was Kissimmee Chain?
No, it was
Harris Chain.
You fall at
Harris
in.
Chain.
Oh,
you fall at in. That was remember?
100% Harris Chain.
Was that last
Harris Chain?
No, 100% Harris Chain. It was the Harris Chain.
Harris Chain.
Florida.
Was that this year?
100% Harris Chain.
This is off topic.
Oh, no. He fell in and you fall too.
You fell off twice?
Well, but that was... Okay. All right.
Yeah. I remember you fell off.
You
fell
off and flipped out of the boat. Off the boat and you fall off. But he fell out of the boat.
The train has left the tracks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
That, the you fall off thing was not a big deal, really, because it was at the boat ramp. And
I
think... I think if I remember right, it was Justin Lucas. I was on Stephen Browning's boat, and I was standing on the back corner. It was, like I said, in the morning. You get situated, do all your stuff. I didn't have a camera in my hand. I didn't have anything, really. And I don't know why I was standing on the – pizza's here.
Oh, pizza is here. So it gets even better.
It gets better.
Anyway, go ahead. Pizza's not going anywhere.
So anyway, I was standing in the back corner of the boat. Justin Lucas was actually kind of heading.
What do you think?
I'm sure Justin Lucas is watching this right now. I'm not blaming you, just so you know. Fiesta, Justin Lucas. So he was kind of maybe not paying 100% attention. He was heading for our boat, Stephen Browning saw him coming and just kind of jammed on the gas to get out of the way while, physics took over, and then I was in the water. But that wasn't any big deal. I was just wet, and it was chilly. But
He got to miss the first 2 hours.
I did. I got to miss a couple hours. I got to go home.
Going out in the cold, it was warm by the time.
I got to shower.
What time of year was this?
It was early that year. I think it was one of our first.
So what do you think the water temperature was when that happened?
I mean, it wasn't horrible. Probably... 50s maybe. I don't know.
That's really bad.
It was.
That's really cold.
It was cold.
That's really cold.
Yeah.
Self-inflated.
So, I mean, like I said, that wasn't a huge deal. Harris Chain was a little wilder. Not really an experience any of us want to have. But yeah, I got thrown out and we were probably going about 50. So, you know, that's a little different. And, all I remember is it was chilly. The air was chilly. Even though it was Florida, it was early enough in the season and it was just kind of cold. So as a lot of us probably do, you know, you tend to kind of like do this number here and mm-hmm. pull the stuff over your face and you're not really paying attention to the guy driving or really, you know, necessarily a lot of what's going on. We just kind of, I think all of us know we put our lives in the hands of the anglers every time we go out.
Yes.
I think for the most part, we trust all these guys, but you know, stuff happens. So, we were going along and all I remember is I kind of looked up, we were going with some waves, but they were like a little diagonal from the bow of the boat. And we just kind of nosed pretty hard into the back of one. And since I was already leaning over, it kind of got me up out of my seat. And then, like, once we were in the back of that wave, I just remember feeling the nose of the boat just, like, boom, like, snap to the right. That fast, yep. It was just, like, I was already up out of my seat. And then I slammed into the side of the boat. And then my fat top half went over.
This is the first time I've heard actually how it happened.
Yeah. And
he thought he saved it.
I thought there was like, I thought that whole like time slowing down thing was a bunch of bullshit. And it really isn't. Like I remember weird like specific moments along the way. And I know in my mind it probably happened that fast. But like you think of things and you're like, yeah. And so like I had a moment where I'm like over the side and I'm just thinking like, yeah, maybe I'm just kind of and get back over there. And then, I mean, and then immediately realizing, no, that's not realistic. And then my left arm hit the water. And from that point it was like, I mean, 1,000 arms grabbed me and then there was tumbling and I came to a stop underwater and, you know, fairly disoriented. I knew I didn't really know which way was up and I had a lot of clothes on and I'm already like probably like the most least buoyant person anyway. It's a whole separate story of me trying to get my scuba certification and treading water for 15 minutes.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Really? It was horrible. And everybody, there was like, I mean, children and old people, they were all done and they were fine. And I was in the water just like struggling to stay alive. And I was afraid my wife was going to have to like maybe save me. So yeah. So anyway, I'm underwater and I'm already like, I'm not good at floating and I got all this stuff on. And all I could think was, pull the tab thing.
Thing that says jerk.
Yeah. The thing on your life.
Inflatable life jet.
And I was doing that. And I'm doing that. That's the wrong side. Just so y'all know, it's not over here. It's over here. So I never hit it. And luckily it did what it's supposed to do. And it flayed on its own. And I came back up. And if you're wondering why I had a gash in my head, it's because some of us use to support the cameras, when I hit the water, came up and hit me in the face. I had to get some stitches. But overall, really, you know, pretty great outcome considering flying out of the boat.
Yeah.
Going
fast, I didn't, so, anyway. I kind of suspected maybe that's how it happened, but that makes perfect sense. I mean, these bass boats go obviously very fast. It's a speed boat hull that just, the top deck is designed for fishing, but it's a speed boat hull.
And we weren't really even going near 50 is not nearly as fast as what you end up going
but,
a lot of the time.
But so. Like if you, depending on how it's trimmed and everything, if you do a hard turn, I mean, it is like abrupt.
It seemed like an unintentional hard turn.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. It can happen. That, you know, a certain trim.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. Like I said, I don't know. You know, the way I looked at it is shit happens. I didn't die.
Yeah.
And drown. Yeah.
And we all kind of like.
It's all good.
Yeah. He wasn't pointing at the speedometer and going, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 75.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It didn't pop up and go, that's it. I'm out.
No, I popped up and I told him, I was like, you know, he was obviously, I could the look on his face is probably more scared than mine, because one minute he had a camera guy, and then the next minute he didn't in his boat. So I'm sure it freaked
him out. And
then
he kept going.
You know, I swore I had a camera guy.
That's weird. Yeah.
Did he get mad at you for cutting into his fishing time?
No, he was very nice. But like I said, he swung around, pulled me up. I didn't even know I was bleeding. Like I got up on the deck of the boat, and I was just kind of trying to catch my breath. And I was kind of on my hands and knees, and all of a sudden I saw blood dripping down. I'm like, why am I bleeding? Because it didn't hurt. I didn't, you know, I never blacked out. I didn't hurt, and I didn't know why I was bleeding, but I figured it out later. But, yeah, he was more freaked out than I was. I tried to get him to let me ride out the day. I was like, once, like, he gave me some dry clothes, and I was on the back deck, and I'm like, you know what? I'm good. Let's do this. Let's go. You got to fish.
Attaboy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
Everybody, that's that go get them attitude,
well,
that we love. That.
Nobody seemed, apparently it was dumb because nobody thought it was a good idea. they were like, no, you're going to go to the hospital and get some stitches.
So I want to comment on that. You can hold that.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little skeptical on that mic protector there.
It's but so our hands don't get all over
I'm
this.
I'm not sure that's actually what it is.
It's for electronics.
Yeah, right. Or other things. By the way, there's pizza over there. Pelle, you could have brought
welcome
it closer. But yeah, Kelly, everybody, you're welcome to pizza
I'll
there.
Kelly will get it.
But yeah. Your story, it's like we all kind of know, like we've done this long enough that we see the dangers, you know. And we all know what it's what could happen out there. I mean, I've thought about different scenarios, but we know what we've signed up for, and it's still even with the, you know, have we had hail on us yet? Anybody had hail?
We had hail
this year, didn't
Not,
we? Yeah.
I don't know if it was this year. I think it was last year.
It's still with all of the potential dangers and the hardships, hot days. I mean, heck, I tell you, a day of like when we start touching the 90s or into the 90s, the day slows down. It's like everything turns to molasses, and I begin questioning life, my life decisions. I mean. You know, and
absolutely.
But it's but it's
I do
still
that at about when we start at 8:00, I do that at about 8:09.
But you go that long?
Nine, I'm like,
but it's like we still keep coming back. I know for certain you don't need this job, Tom. You get this guy here, he works the Olympics. I see him running around like the NFL sidelines, running with a camera around.
You'll see him on Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night football. Tom Stone does the Monday night football.
One of the greats.
One of the absolute greats. I love this man, but
yes,
we know the dangers, but it still beats working in an office. None of us are wired for. I've had such a hard time editing. It's because I just don't like sitting in front of a computer. You know, like I need to be outside. I need like a sense of adventure in what I do. You know, and this job does afford that. You know, yeah, it's got its. You know, you could potentially die. You know, but you know, you weigh things.
There's not a lot of adventure and safety.
No.
Right. There really isn't. Right. Exactly. So, but let's.
You're missing the point. The important thing to take away, and you're picking it up. His camera did not go in the water with him.
That's right.
It was safely secured on the floor while we bounced through those waves.
So we got more pizza. Oh, yeah. We got pepperoni jalapeno. Come on with it. But I wanted to also like. So what is there? Is there? You guys remember anything this season that kind of stands out? Anything that was a little wild? I mean, I'm kind of the same way you are. I mean, not kind of. I am the same way you are, Paul. Like I can only remember. Is it a defensive mechanism that's happening,
right,
like for us?
Like we're trying to erase this from our past.
I think that we're. I mean, I think it's like sort of like there's a little bit of just like that's. I feel like it's common among cameramen because you go to so many places, you do so many different things, and like that part of your brain maybe just gets fried a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. Well Dustin Blanchett. I forgot we got to introduce ourselves. Dustin Blanchett, by the way, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Dustin.
Hey, I'm Cody.
I guess
John Ossing from Montana. You know,
hi,
whatever.
John.
Hi, guys.
I guess I'm John.
I think part of it is we have so much going on between our ears, and you're looking through a little viewfinder, and you're focusing, and you're framing, and you're exposing, and you're listening to a truck in one ear, and you're listening to your angler in the other ear, and sometimes your angler's playing back in both ears 10 seconds apart from each other, or a minute apart from each other. You're just processing so much to make the shot happen that kind of all of the, when you step away, and if you were just sitting there all day and experiencing it without focusing through the camera, like, you remember a whole lot more, but it's so processed through other means that it all blends together.
Well, talk about too, I have my face stuffed right now, but like, talk about the truck, how that works, you know? Pell, maybe you, I mean, go ahead, Jeff, you know how.
Jeff's Mark Pellizzoni, by the way, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So
my son's going to Harvard in 3 weeks, by the way.
He hasn't shut up about it this
I'm
whole
season. I'm pretty proud.
His son is going to Harvard.
And he hasn't
joking.
Shut up
Everybody
about it.
Half the people think I'm joking. I literally told one
it's
guy in Alaska. He was like,
he's able to produce
yeah,
a Harvard student.
And I looked at him. I'm like,
I can't believe it.
And he's next to me. And he's like,
and yet he
wow, he is going to Harvard. I'm like, yes, he is. The truck. So we're on the boat. Normally you would think, I mean, if you see, sometimes you see photographs of us on the website, you know, you see us on the boat, and you think, oh, we're just out there, you know, enjoying the peacefulness or something, you know, but
you're not.
What, you're not. We have to be incommunicado with the truck back in Tulsa at headquarters. So it's a semi-truck with this incredible array of audio and visual equipment and lots of cables you plug in, like Mayberry, remember when Andy would, Sarah, get me.
You know, I don't,
Sheriff Taylor, and she'd plug in.
I don't think it's like that at all.
Imagine that times a million.
I don't picture the no. truck like that at all. Yeah. A big smoker with food being
well,
all day.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
And a little picnic yeah. bench where so they're looking mean? At a 2-inch monitor going, hey, grab me one of those brats. Oh, there it is. There it is. Get it. Take it. Take yeah, four. Exactly. That's what I picked.
We'll get to that. I'm going to let Stoney touch on that. Your new name's Monday Night, by the way. No, so we have to be in communication with the truck. And it's a room full of guys. Well, we just hear probably three, four maybe, the audio guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a producer and a director. Is Dean a producer? Mm-hmm. Producer, a director, kind of an assistant director, and then an audio guy. And all they're doing is either talking to us, which you got to be down. So you're listening to your angler for cues, you're listening to them for when we go live. And then you're listening to all the other anglers talking on the show. You're listening for storylines to follow so you can cue your angler to talk about a certain another angler, something like that. But also the guys in the truck, it's the eight-hour comedy hour. And it's with Dean and Corbin, we love them to death. I mean, literally, most of the time they just make our day because it's entertaining as all heck.
Yeah,
but it's constant.
It's kind of like,
and it's loud, and it's about the most dumb stuff you could imagine. Some of the stuff that comes through our comm and our ear from the truck is insane, and you're just out there going, "What in the world?"
Well, let's think about it here too. You know, we're filming for 6 days, 8 hour days.
Yeah,
like what other sporting event? Are you, you know,
live.
Or and you know, we got to be ready. We got a camera on our shoulder all day for 8 hours in very, very tough, oftentimes harsh conditions. I'm not trying to blow, you know, I'm not trying to.
No.
But what's beautiful about the situation is to have them in our ear,
oh, yeah.
And it's just like comic relief when mm-hmm. when shit's really going bad, you know. And then you put, and it's just sometimes it's like ah. You know, because it's such a difference. Like, you could just be just in hell, you know, and they're like, you know, they got the smoker
yeah,
behind the truck, and they got brisket, and you know, they're always eating in the truck. Yep. It would appear.
They don't stop.
Yeah. So, but it's like it's a what I love. You know, I used to work with those guys, and you know, we all used to work underneath under the same roof at one point. And that culture's still here, you know. And I love that kind of working relationship where or that situation where it's light. Everybody knows how to do their job. Everybody knows how to do their job well. There's still this aspect of keeping it light. And those guys, you know, it's just comic relief. It's like it's and those two are really good. It's like Mystery Science Theater Bass Edition. Yeah, you know,
not only are they watching us, they're also watching two different television feeds in the background.
Cartoon Network,
Dream of Genie, or.
But seriously, they do. They, in all honesty, and I'm not trying to be a kiss ass or anything, but in all honesty, it's a different hell that they're in. We're out there, and at least we have a lot of stimulation and stuff going on and moving around and. Dude, they are stuck in that truck, staring at a wall full of monitors.
Smelling each other's farts.
I mean, the whole thing. So it's a different kind of.
So, like, I mean, cause it's set up, Tom. You like what they have to look at? Like, they're looking at
a monitor, a wall. Everybody's shots.
They're looking at a wall of all of our cameras.
So every one of our cameras is up on the wall, and they can see it all going on, along with other stuff that they're watching, and they sit there. I don't blame them for getting bored, but they do a great job. That's why they do all the comedy is because they're breaking up the boredom of sitting in that truck and not being able to go anywhere. So it's good that Nolan comes in, and Nolan's another guy that directs, and they rotate. And
because there's not another.
It seems unfair to us sometimes because we can't rotate. We're stuck on the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not. I mean.
A sample of the
Also, I want to add too to like we all
the
we
mic's
kinda,
over here.
We kind of
you should know better.
We kind of talked about it a second ago, but like the absurdity of what we do in terms of like live television is very different from other sports. And you know, I know Tom and I know very well about you know guys. We all do guys we know from the live sports world. Tom and I were on the same football crew, so we had some of the same conversations with these people about they want to hear about fishing sometimes, and we tell them what it's like, and they shake their heads like we're insane because you know for them like a whole like a 4 hour football game is like 4 hour football game is like oh my god it's long we're
oh yeah
it's
they
long
they start asking you questions about. Well, when do you eat? And when do you? Where's the restroom? Where's the catering?
Yeah, right.
No, there's none of that. There's none of that stuff. No, your catering is in your little plastic container that you put in your bag with your trail mix in it. That's your. I mean, that's what you got for the day. Whatever you put in your bag.
Yeah, and like I said, if a football game goes 4.5 hours, I mean, people are like, oh my god,
their hair out.
They're pulling their hair out. They're like, this is the longest thing in the world, and we're just like. Oh, I wish a day of fishing was that short.
Yeah. But, and that's, introduce yourself and your job title here.
Jeff McMichael, and I fly the drone. Because I fly the drone.
Look what's coming in on 11.
It looks so beautiful every time you shoot.
For real.
So one of the things, occasionally, you guys are all in headsets. So, like, no one else hears the truck. Occasionally, if I have the right camera boat driver, I have to check them out because the truck gets a little spicy sometimes. I hate to be tethered because I'm flying like this, and I have the headset. So I'll take it off, and I'll put on a speaker. So the camera boat drivers, because all the guys. So what the guys do in the truck is a very loose, kind of fun thing in the truck because they're doing it for 8 hours. And because of that, they have to keep everyone's energy up, not just on the water, but in the trucks. So they have fun. They cook out. They do all the stuff that they talk about.
The betting pool.
Yeah. But they always talk about food all day long. So they're talking about at breakfast, when's lunch. They have a snack. They have someone has a smoker in the back. They're doing chicken wings. They're doing a brisket.
I heard
all day long.
Breakfast.
Yeah, second breakfast. Yes.
The other day.
They smoke bologna. They do like they have names for all this stuff. And so one time, one of my guys go, "So what do they look like?" And I said, "Exactly how you think they look," which is very true.
Did you hear Nolan this week saying that he's trying to lose weight? He was giving his numbers, and he was like, "I'm 6 foot, 230 pounds," and Corbin chimed in and goes, "Those are rookie numbers." It was awesome.
I did not hear that.
Those are rookie numbers.
Anyway.
I'm just passing the baton because it was passed to me, and I got this. So, all of a sudden I had two pieces of pizza, and I'm like, "Woo! I'm in another world right now." I'm like, It could have been something else. It's definitely possible, but
it was all the preparation.
It's what do you guys think as far as it's that 8-hour day. So we're filming six days. 8 hours a day. No other sport really like that.
When you say 8 hours a day, you might.
Well, right, more. Right. So, what are your thoughts? And we've talked about it in the past. Is it, can professional bass fishing, can the day, I'm talking about the sport. I'm not, obviously we're biased. We want it to be a short day. Can the sport of professional bass fishing, can it be short? Can that day be shortened? Does it have to be because it's always been 8 hours?
Hi, my name is Cody Prather. I'm a second time attendee to one of these.
Happy to have you here.
Hi, guys. Let's talk epic moments first off.
Yeah.
We're going to start with epic moments because we started out at Kissimmee Chain. And we changed to this awesome new format, five fish. We went from catching fish and every fish counts to going to five fish. And everybody was pessimistic and so upset about that. Then we go to Kissimmee Chain. And it's like, man, this is going to tank. And we get there. And then in the knockout round, boom, fireworks. Andy Morgan catches a donkey right at the end that leapfrogs him right into the championship. We got all this crazy drama. And then we go to the championship round, and Mark Davis is running away with it. And everybody's like, this five fish is so boring. What's going to happen? Well, then Chris Lane at the last minute catches a five-pounder, jumps Mark Davis, who everybody thought was unbeatable, and all of a sudden wins it. And we got the fireworks going on. And all of a sudden we're all standing there high-fiving each other going, this is the most epic thing ever. Five fish is going to work. And then from there on, it just tanked.
Well,
and I knew sucked for the rest of the year.
This was the moment.
I thought we were going to touch on this.
So basically we went from
supposed to talk about
this 8-hour video of awesomeness of being entertained.
I knew he would be the controversial
one. Engaged the entire time to all of a sudden now we're throwing back 4-pounders. And not even making the air because nobody cares.
Well, I think we know Cody's opinion on the new format.
We literally could go to about a 2-hour show. Well, maybe a 4-hour show.
So,
talked about this a little bit. The middle of the day lacks some energy now.
Yeah.
And that's the, how do you fix that? I don't know. But,
right.
But you got like a window in the morning where a lot of stuff happens. The guys filling out their 5-bag, culling a little bit, and then, it does seem to lose a lot of momentum as people settle in. And then towards the very end, the last few days, we've all seen ounces, not even ounces, ties.
Yeah.
1 ounce, 2 ounces separating the haves and the have-nots. And so then you get into that last part of the day, and then there's a sense of anxiety. Whereas in the past seasons with Every Fish Counts, that sense of anxiety probably carries throughout the whole entire day.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't even know.
I was with Mark Davis that day, and I was like, yes. I was like, this is great. Right out the gate, five fish. We've got this drama, but yeah, I have mixed feelings about it because as an angler, you go out. I mean, I think really the focus as an angler, a serious angler, serious. Is that, you want to catch bigger fish, So, but some people, I mean, I don't know what that is. I don't know what is it? What is that magic format,
The truth is both of them work. And I've got a little overdramatic just to go
someplace. No, I expected it from you.
Yeah, because you said don't go there, so I wanted to go
I knew
there.
He would.
But there is an entertainment value for us being on the boat that when you catch a fish, and that fish counts, it's doing something for that day, and every fish is important, and you shoot it. Like, I noticed my shooting, I shoot every fish like it could be the game-winning fish because it's all important, and it's going to help them. And now, they catch a fish that is not going to help them, and you just don't even – I don't even pay attention to it anymore because they're probably not going to put it on TV or on the live show.
And so it's really changed for me, at least. It's changed the momentum that I have on the boat, and has really slowed down and dragged out the day to where I feel like we could shorten the days, and I hope that we do, because I think we're pushing those a little too long on these days, and we're basically starting work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know, like for this shoot, we're not getting back in till some of 6:30. So you know, you're putting in 13 plus hour days to try to squeeze in an 8 hour day of fishing, and it gets a little.
Yeah, I mean, I think like historically, it's like what humans do with everything. We do what we've always done in the past, you know. And it takes a person like an Elon Musk type of a character to go, no, you don't want to do that. And you know, you could, these tournaments, fishing, there takes time, you know, for things to develop. So you can't make it can't be exactly like the duration of a mainstream sport. You know, you can't, things have to develop, you know. That's what fishing does, take longer for things, you know, because you're dealing with trying to figure out a living organism and what the hell it's, you know, doing. It can be so random and unpredictable. So I think it would be a mistake to think, oh yeah, you can shorten it to, you know, 4 hours even. I think that's a little much. 5 hours, maybe. Six.
Do 3 2-hour periods.
3 2-hour periods.
Yeah. So easily. Kelly, yeah, here. Please.
I'm watching. Just pick me up.
Come on.
Come on. Get in here.
Come on, Kelly.
No, I'm not eating that pizza box.
take the garbage bag, Mike.
But in the invitationals and in most every other fishing tournament that's out there, that's a 5-fish tournament, where you have a weigh-in, you're not fishing until 4 o'clock. You're fishing until 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Right.
Because you've got to be back by 2:30.
Well, that's a good point.
So you're not fishing nearly as long as we are. So, yes, to answer your question, could a bass tournament be shorter? Absolutely. Almost every one of them are shorter.
Yeah. And I think too, that it
would just hold.
I think, too, it could also help with even, you know, spectators and the audience, the live stream, the, you know, to shorten it down. Maybe it makes it quicker, you know, the action more, you know.
Well, I would say there's two ways to look at that. And one is like, I think one is the attention span factor, because I think we all, you know, somebody's probably going to think this podcast is too long.
Well, evidently, podcasts can be 16 hours and
people
still
listen to them. Oh, my God.
It's fascinating.
Sweet. Well, let's settle in.
Hey, we got
you're going to get overtime from this podcast.
But, you know.
Can I pretend like I'm on the boat real quick?
Yeah.
I just did that. I do think, like, you know, if you're thinking of the idea that people are going to sit and watch the entire day for 6 days straight, probably unlikely. But it does beg the attention, like, how long is somebody's attention span to watch? If they are going to watch the whole thing, how long would you watch it for? However, the other way to look at it, I think, is people aren't necessarily going to watch the whole thing either way, and they're going
right.
to pop in and out of the live stream, and so in some way the longer the live stream is on, the more opportunity for eyeballs throughout the day as people go through their work day. And
agreed.
Obviously from a business standpoint, the more eyeballs the better. So
I agree with that.
And the other thing too that's real tough about this, it's a very, very hard sport to cover. I mean it's very, very difficult on so many different levels. The playing field is Saginaw Bay. Yeah. You know, or another Great Lake, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, so that's in itself is very difficult.
Yeah, even when we are covering them, there's 10 of us and 40
right.
anglers on the boat.
Right.
40 anglers on the boat. 40 anglers on the water.
On
10 of us. So our coverage is only 25%.
Right.
Until championship day.
That's a great point. So there's that. There's another point that I had that it's left my brain right now. But, yeah.
He had the look in his eye.
Well, I was going to equate this also to, you look, and I think I'm a sports guy, so I look at the Major League Baseball season. It's 162 games, and it's brutally long. It gets so long, people don't pay attention to it. But you can't shorten it because of tradition, because of statistics and home run records and seasonal records, and it's going to throw and skew all that stuff out the window. Bass fishing is a lot of tradition. I mean, the teeth pulling it took to go to
right.
every fish counts.
Right.
And right. then look where we are, back right. to the traditional.
Right.
They went and got
right.
implants.
So I think tradition has a lot to do with the format, the length of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anglers always need more time.
Right. Well,
if I
mean,
only had more time.
I mean, that's, you know, you're an angler. I mean, that's just kind of, it's kind of how it goes. I mean, I make fun of anglers in my head, you know. I go, oh, God, and then I go out fishing. I'm like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm making the same excuses. I'm doing, you know. It's something about going after something, another creature, and trying to figure it out. And you just never think that you've got it quite figured out. Because it's got its own little brain and it's doing its own little thing. And it's like, but if I had just a little bit more time, you know, I could have figured out what its brain was thinking, or I was just in the wrong place where that fish is, you know, was at. And if I just go, it's just like it's just a number of things running through your head constantly, because it's not like when you play a mainstream sport. It's black and white. You know what I mean? It's like there's a bat and there's a baseball, and like you're dealing with all kinds of factors that are completely uncontrollable. And so you're always going, but if I did this, and it's just like, you know, but every fisherman does it, I think, you know. How are we looking on time?
Good.
We're good. So I think let's talk about
He's
this.
Not the best color man in the
I feel like if we just went a little longer. I can have better thoughts about that.
Exactly.
Well,
I like
what. Another 13 minutes at least. That would be
good. Gotcha. Okay. Well, I do want to get to some stuff here on my list, but I'm loving this so far. This is fantastic. This is what I knew. I brought the pizza here and some free drinks that you guys would just start gushing. So I really, really. Oh, you didn't get that memo? Yeah, free drinks. We're at a double tree hotel in Saginaw, Michigan, or Bay City, Michigan, rather. And I put free drinks at the
Open
front.
Box.
They have this awesome pantry. A lot of these hotels now, it's really great. They have like pantries where they got all kinds of food, you know, and you can get drinks. And it's specifically for high people. It's specifically for people that, because this state is recreational now. There's dispensaries right. everywhere on
and
every corner.
You didn't plan your snacks.
And so yeah, if you, so you can get way laid up in your room and go down to the lobby and at any moment
and over and over again
and munchify yourself to your heart's content.
Here's the one mistake Greg made is that he did open bar for us. He said, yeah, just go up. Just don't go crazy, guys. Just go up. Thank you, Greg.
Go ahead. Seriously. If you want, you're welcome to. Seriously.
Was that just for us? We weren't supposed to tell
Yeah, them. I was giving out.
No, that's just,
wedding party.
But the funny thing is there's a wedding party across the hall right here, so you might hear some of the partying going on over there. But I did want to get into, you know, let's get into, like, this week. This is a momentous week because, you know, we got an Angler of the Year race. That is. I mean, you couldn't have scripted. I know they've been talking. It's kind of a cliche. We've heard a lot today, but it is true. Like, you couldn't have scripted it better. How this championship day is going to be, because it's Van Dam's last regular season tournament, and he made it in. And I should know because I've been filming them all. You know, that shows you where my brain's at. But he's yeah. So he's leading the event. I think he's leading by 3 pounds now.
Yeah.
So
that is a good lead.
That's you know, and
solid. Angler of the year.
So you've got like angler. Like how many guys are fighting?
There's still four. There's still four guys.
Three guys
made the championship day tomorrow, but the fourth guy, the leader, is still mathematically.
Possible.
Eligible to win this.
Wheeler has to be eighth or less.
Yeah, I think the three guys fishing tomorrow have to literally finish 8, 9, and 10.
It's been a momentous week, and I think, I don't know how you guys feel about this too. Coming into this tournament, I was really concerned. Just, you know, we kind of do this. Like we go, oh man, Saginaw, man, there's going to be 7-footers out there.
Oh yeah.
You know, and we're all like, oh okay. And we get there, we're like, oh boy, what is it? What does the week entail? You know, and you look at the long range forecast, you're like, oh boy, you know, we've kind of. We've kind of had it okay so far, but yeah. So it's been pretty good. But what's really cool about this body of water that I didn't realize, and I would say that this body of water is turning out better than originally thought. Like the first couple of days, but it's like really pretty awesome. Like the mix between largemouth habitat and cool. Oh, yeah.
It's a really cool place.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And then you can dabble in, obviously Kevin's catching all, you know, for the most part, he's catching all smallmouth. So
can you say that?
Yeah. Yeah. This podcast will air after.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's, don't this, worry. This is a really cool fishery that I wasn't really expecting it, you know, and I like that it's both species. And the largemouth habitat's really beautiful, like the vegetation, you know.
Yeah.
But then you got big smallmouth. They're a little bit harder. I would say that the smallmouth, they're harder to find. They're not. Oh, yeah. It's not like a St. Clair situation. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to have tournaments that are like crazy, you know. Like this one, I think it was a nice mixture of, you know, not insane fishing, but you know, a good mixture, challenging, and yet good fish being caught. And
the slugfest, I mean, when you have these slugfests, like, you know, Cayuga was just, there's a 5 and a 5.5 and a 4 3/4. It's great when you see those monster fish, but literally you kind of get numb to it after a while.
Right.
It's like, you want a challenge. You want, you know, diverse guys doing different things and,
agreed. And I think people can relate more to, like, not everybody has a, like a sluggo factory next to it, you know what I mean? Like a crazy.
A sluggo factory?
Remember sluggos? But, that doesn't make any sense.
So before you go, I want to ask you guys a question that I heard one of the anglers say. With Kevin retiring, there's a change. And it's been happening for a while.
Are you trying to make me cry?
Yes.
You son of a bitch.
For the last
time. Trying to make
years.
Me cry.
There's a change, not only in the industry and the fishing stuff and the guys, you know, a lot of the younger guys are coming on, and because of Jake, like, there's a whole change in the industry that we've kind of been a part of, because most camera guys are kind of older a little bit, for the most part. So we've seen this change, and it feels like it.
Yeah.
Not like bad or good or different things. Right. There's a change now.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure there's been a lot of other generations since pro tournaments that start, and this is kind of like the period mark.
Yeah,
with Kevin retiring as the change.
Yeah,
do you guys see that? Do you feel?
Yeah, and I it's.
Well, yeah. No, I mean I know. I mean, Greg and I have had this conversation about like when you're talking about Wheeler, Connell, Lucas. Like, we've talked about this idea that like these are the spawn of Van Damme.
Yeah.
Like the guys who.
Sounds like a,
I know, isn't it great? I trademarked that. Don't use it. It's mine. Van Damme, I'm talking to you. I trademarked Spawn of Van Damme. You can't have it. But, I mean, literally, like I said, like with this conversation we've had is like these guys who fish like that, who can do anything, who do it quickly and make decisions quickly, make changes quickly, like this idea that we all know that like Kevin pioneered is like he was the pioneer, and then you've got all these guys who have like just taken it on steroids, and then you see the consequences of that, and I mean that's just a testament to Kevin and his style of fishing and what he created, in my opinion.
Doubt, I agree 100%. But also,
Tom Stone,
getting back,
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tom Stone.
Very famous.
Not. But anyway, you were talking about the diversity of this particular lake. It also has a cool effect for us, because I can go to bed at night not knowing if I'm going out in the rough water or if I'm going to the nice
calm. Yeah, it's a variety. It's kind of fun.
I don't know. I don't know where I'm not. It, you know, on some lakes,
you know.
I'm going out there tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Here, maybe not.
Yeah, it's
so
fun.
It's okay. It's you get up,
fishery.
You go, it's all right.
It's a fun fishery.
But diversity is always a plus.
I agree. But to your point about Van Damme, like, I couldn't agree more. Like, I mean, I think this isn't, you know, this is how people that know Van Damme. It's yeah. You don't want to. That's a boy, right to the moon. Yeah, like it's Van Damme. I was thinking of, this is going to sound really stupid because it is. I was thinking today. You know, I wanted. Boy, if he wins this, even if he doesn't win it, I'm thinking about after the tournament, like, because we've got a lot of history together, and I like just doing a little video with him, you know. And then I start tearing up. I was thinking about it. I actually started tearing up thinking about how, I mean, you know, it's whatever. But Van Damme was the first angler, in my opinion, to show that bass fishing, professional bass fishing, is a legitimate sport. He showed people that are like, whatever. He was in his prime, and it's an overused cliche, but he was the Tiger Woods of bass fishing. He showed, like, Tiger Woods was like, he showed that golf could be consistent, and no one was that consistent in golf before. Kevin is like, he comes on and he's just aggressive and fast, and he's triggering fish more than anybody else. He's putting his he's making more presentations in a day than anybody else, and he rose the bar and showed people that this can be a legitimate sport. It's look at how consistent his record is. And he talked about it today, which I thought was great. He talked about how important integrity is. All while, and I've worked with Kevin a lot, all while being incredibly honest and just having a tremendous work ethic. And there's a lot to be said for him for that. And just, he legitimized the sport. He legitimized the sport.
A way he legitimized it was being that consistent. Because when I was, like, I was never really a tournament fisherman or anything like that. But when I'd fish, I used to always think, before he came along, it's kind of luck. It's luck, basically. I mean, yeah, there's going to be guys that did better than the other guys that tournament, but they got lucky. They caught a bigger fish. But then when he continued to win over and over and over and over again, I'm going, well, maybe it's not all luck. Maybe exactly I'm right. Seriously. Probably it changed. It changed my whole perception. And then I noticed that when this started, the same guys are always at the top.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not luck.
Yeah.
It changed my whole point of view. Look at this year with the whole changing of the format. Who's still right there? Angler of the year, Jacob Wheeler. Yeah. It's not because it's luck. And Alan Jones Jr. and Ott.
Yeah.
The same guys.
Ott to me is, Ott is like, I love Ott.
But it's
like,
the same guys.
Absolutely.
No matter what the format
right.
is. They'll just figure it out. You just tell them
what
the rules
that's
are.
That's right. They're pros, then, dude. Yeah, they're absolute pros.
Jordan's right up there.
But I never thought that about fishing until Van Damme was so consistent.
And so what Van Damme did, and he basically said he set the new standard. And then now he had a tough tournament. I can't remember. Maybe it was 2 years ago or something. I was filming him, and he just barely missed making it in, you know, to the knockout round or something. And he was pissed, you know. Van Damme is an intense dude. Everything. Like, you go out to eat with him, and he's ordering a steak intensely. You know, everything. It's like all. It's like focused. Everything. He's going 100 miles an hour down the road, past the pepper. Like, it's just. He's just a very intense and just, we're going to do things the right way and it's going to be the best way. You know, that's, you know, but he rose the bar and he made all these anglers out there now. He made all these young anglers out there. I told him when he got mad and didn't make it, I said, well, it's all your fault. You made these kids,
yeah,
you know, this is your own creation. And so, I mean, I think that's his legacy, is that he showed that bass fishing can be a legitimate sport, and that with guys like him, now with guys like Wheeler and other, you know, Ott and you know, these consistent guys, they are showing that, no, this is a real, like, this is tremendous talent. It's, you know, these guys put a lot of work in. They're long days, obviously, and it's tremendously frustrating, too, because these guys, it's like, imagine a mainstream sport and you have a spectator running out on the field, and like a guy's about to kick the ball, and he goes, and just kicks the ball. It's like, or a guy's about to make a three-point shot, right? And a spectator runs up and just grabs the hoop and, you know, like you. So you have spectators that can mess, and they're it's public water.
That's a good looking shot, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah, bass fishing is the only sport where you have to compete against the general public.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm always like, when the championship day is on a weekend, I'm like, God, I can't. I put myself in, that would suck. You know, you get everybody out there, and then they got to go, like, they got to protect their areas. And
even more tribute to Van Damme and the guys that have rose to that level. That's where the crowd's going, too. That they're going to watch those guys, and they get in the way and stuff. The other fishermen don't have to contend with that nearly as much. I mean, Van Damme can have a bunch of people there watching him and getting in the way, and he still succeeded.
Yeah.
I mean, he still succeeded.
Right. And we don't. Right. And we often joke a little bit about Kevin does not like us to show his graphs, which.
But in the era alive, dude,
exactly.
I totally get it.
I get it, too. We joke about it, but I do get it. And I think back to I was looking in my phone, I had to remember, because I was with him when he won on Cayuga, and that was super cool. And so I got to kind of, and for like maybe 4 out of the 6 days, I was with him a lot. And part of that tournament was that, like, there were guys that he knew were, like, when we left at 4 o'clock, there were guys that were sitting there watching, and you just knew, you see those guys, and they are like, you can tell they're itching to go over there and fish that hole the second he gets out of eyesight.
Absolutely,
and,
right.
And
absolutely
so,
right.
Like you're saying, it is, and does that probably happen to every guy? No, but when you're Kevin Van Damme and you go someplace and people follow you, like, you know, what do? There's nothing you can do, but you're also competing against that as well, which is, like I said, a testament to how good these guys are.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, like, I mean, I think I put myself in their shoes, like, okay, you've done really well on this spot, and then the tournament's over, you got to go out the next day, you're doing well, tournament's over at 4, you know, and then you got to go, you do whatever that evening, you know, and come back the next day, and you don't know if there's an angler coming in on that spot that just gonna, you know, molest that spot, take all the fish, you know, take a limit, I mean, you know, it's just like there's so many. It's just another of the unknown layers added.
No,
you know,
yeah. Who is the angler who showed up at his spot first thing the next morning, and there was a local there with like a 5-pounder going, they're still here.
Jordan Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Lee pulled up, and that guy's like, "Yeah, hey, they're still here, Jordan." Jordan's like, "What is that?"
And that's
I was with him that day.
And we see that. We see that side of things, you know. You don't necessarily see that on the live show. So you see those interactions that give you even more of an appreciation how nerve-wracking this sport is.
But see interactions good and bad. We see people who
no doubt
move off, you know, pull up and they move off and they're like, Yeah, you have it. And then we see the opposite. Sometimes you're sitting there and then the guy's pulling in and like starts throwing away like 50 feet away and you're just like, dude, you live here, like, what are you doing?
You totally understand that gets in these guys' heads. I get
it. Although Van Damme has the best, I call it the Van Damme eye, because with drone I'm always pulling up and I go and they see another boat and it looks like, why is this guy getting so close? They don't know it's a drone yet sometimes, and he has like the most impressive like
lasers.
Laser eyes on everyone as you go, where you just kind of back up even.
Yeah. I think I've seen a laser eye Van Damme graphic.
I think there's a laser eye lure. I think Bass Pro Shops had a laser eye series of spinner baits. That's how much of a nerd I am. But let's go. So let's get to today. Okay, so this was the knockout round. We got off the water, and we're doing the podcast, so I appreciate you guys being here. It was an exhausting day, but it was a memorable day, particularly for I mean, I was with Kevin, filming Kevin, and Dustin was with Randall Tharp. So do you want to set up? Kevin has got an area. So his area... he's got one spot. okay? And it's not a very big spot, and it's but it's the as Kevin would say, it's the juice.
It's the juice. You know? Randall also called it the juice.
Yes. So juicy. Kevin, they've been in two different groups, right?
Like yes.
Yeah, so Kevin was in group A and Randall was in group B. They had no idea they were fishing the same spot. No idea. So I'm driving with Kevin, you know, on the road. This is a trailering event. So we get to
it
this.
It actually started on the highway, which is funny. They were joking around on the highway because Randall was like, damn, these guys are going like 85. And he's like, I can't catch them. And so he was kind of messing around with, there was Kevin and who
Kevin
else?
Kevin passed Randall.
Right.
On the road.
And then, but then Randall was just kind of joking around. He's like, and he was like, "Oh, that Toyota ain't got any more in it." And so he like passed Kevin.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know. And then Annie was calling him on the phone at the same time. They were talking on the phone in the trucks. But anyway, the whole day started like that, and then.
Well, they didn't know, like they, so they didn't know that they're gonna. Turns out they're fishing the very same area.
Group A and Group B meet.
So Kevin gets there at first. He's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe there's no one here, right?" And then he's kind of setting. You know, this is before the tournament started. We're set up on the spot, and then he notices like corner of his eye. Oh no, actually Randall's here. You know, so talk about that exchange. So it was great. We had cameras, obviously, in the boat.
Yeah, we were on both Randall. Shooting. I was with Randall.
And I will say, through that exchange and how they managed that.
And
situation.
Even before we got out there. Randall was driving in the truck, and when he saw Kevin going the same direction that he's going, again, they don't know where they've been fishing in their groups. He was like, that sucker Kevin. He's like, that's the one guy I was worried about who would find the spot that I'm on, the juice. And then, you know, of course he was like, maybe not. But then, you know, we all put in and we're going out there. Kevin was ahead of us and we were a little bit behind him. And Randall was like, I'm just going to sit here. I want to sit here at the mouth and see where people go. Cause he was like, if nobody goes over there, I'm not going over there. He wanted to go fish some largemouth first period and then hit it the second period. If nobody goes over there, I'm not going to go over there. And we were watching boats go off, you guys and a couple others. And at first he was like, oh, I think we're good. And then we saw Kevin's boat go and stop. And he was like, oh, seriously. And so we went over there, like Greg was talking about. We kind of pulled in and, you know, Randall's class act, Kevin's class act. And he was like, you know, we're going to have to figure out how to manage this.
You could see that there was a real admiration between the two. Like Kevin even said, he's like, man, you can be right close 10 feet to me. You can fish this. You don't, you know. And like Kevin said that. I don't know if you remember that. He's like, you can fish all around. I don't care, you know. And
right, because Randall asked him what he wanted to do. Randall's like, well, how do you want to handle this? What do you want to do? He's like, I can leave. We can fish together. And Kevin was just like, he's like, I'm cool with whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, you know, they want, both of them want it to themselves. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat this. Like, but you could see the internal conflict that was going on in their heads because they want to win. This is what this is important.
I think for Randall even more conflict because obviously like his admiration for Kevin last tournament, like everybody, you know, deep inside, you all want a storybook ending, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like he knows that too. And I could tell he felt that too. And he's like, and I think that's why he gave him the whole first period. I think he was just like, if this place is as good as I think it is, I can come back here and probably make the knockout round too. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But
yeah, and that's the thing. Like
Kevin catching.
Well, that first period, but you got to keep in. This is fishing, right? Kevin the whole time is like, I don't know if they're here. And at first, it took a while.
It took a while.
Well, it took a while, and he's like, and you know, we fish tournaments. You know, if you just fishing in general, you have all your high hopes up, and then it's like. Pfft. But the guys that, you know, we see it too. The guys, they're humans. They get discouraged. But Kevin, you know, there's no guarantees in fishing. And I was like, I was starting to think, like, oh, my gosh, what these fish could have just, you know.
Randall was thinking the same thing because obviously he's watching Score Tracker really closely to see only really what Kevin's doing.
Right.
Like all morning he wanted Kevin updates.
and then he went to hammering him. So
yeah, and so then Kevin basically just got found him, or I think he pretty there was just they got these smallmouth. They're so they can move so much, you know, and they just moved. The juice had moved a little bit, yeah. You know, the area where they were more concentrated. But he found them, and then it was just. And this is a thing for you know, just that you can learn on the water. I mean, this is a benefit of doing this job if you're a fisherman is like, okay, well, he it's once he hooks a fish, it's like, especially with smallmouth, is important. Probably more so important with smallmouth than largemouth is that you got to keep firing out there. You know, if so he takes advantage of the situation probably better than anybody. When he gets that school fired up, he's like out there, boom, 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 boom. And he's just making sure he is taking advantage of this as much as possible, because in fishing, you never know, too. It's just there might be just a short bite window. That's what's going on. There could be all kinds of reasons why they're biting. It could be just they just started biting, or he found an area that they're in. But he just capitalizes on it and whoop. And then what was it? Like, he didn't have a bite for 6 hours.
Yeah,
you know, so
and just to go, I want to go back and just to give Randall props. We kind of glossed over the fact that he did. Randall ultimately said, "Just take it for the first period. I'm going to come back in the second period." Which, you know,
huge
like
deal.
I said, it probably sealed his fate today in hindsight. But it was a very nice, very admirable thing to do.
Absolutely right. And Kevin on the ride back in the truck back to. You know, here basically back to town, Bay City. He called up Randall.
Oh, did he really?
On the phone and thanked him.
That's
and
cool.
Really, you know, and really like said it was a lot of integrity and you know, that's the thing, man. Like it's cool to that these guys, you know, some of them, I mean, it's when you get on the water, you see like it's cutthroat, you know, a lot of times, but a lot of these guys, I would say, have a lot of respect for each other, and it's cool to see that. That was a perfect example today of that.
Yeah.
I do want to say something that this is so, you know, when you film with Kevin, he sets the parameters, you know, and you just get a sense, okay, man, this is A game stuff. I got to be on my A game. It's like, and then especially a day like this, you know, I mean, I'm like responsible for really kind of filming history in bass fishing right now. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean today?
Yeah.
So
we talked about that this morning.
And
you're the perfect person for it, being the bass nerd you are.
Yeah.
It's the perfect thing. You should be with him.
I think Randy, our boss, basically, who's not here, last time he was looking over us, making sure we didn't say anything we weren't supposed to say, but I think he's out to dinner right now, but it's like, I think Randy and I, we used to work at Bass Pro Shops together, and I think maybe he's like, I'll give this to Greg. I mean, that's what I want. I don't know for sure, and that's
he should.
But I mean, and I don't want special treatment, but I got to say, it was an emotional, like I said, I was tearing up at certain points, you know, today. It's like, you
God,
know, when
you're
going to
be a mess tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
You're
going to
be a mess tomorrow.
I know.
Can we have Greg Cam tomorrow?
But I got to tell you.
You got to be there with the drone circling.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was funny is so like, you know, like we have 8 hour days, you know, and well, my thing is after 30 minutes, I might check my phone. We have a cameraman text thread that, you know, it's good to look at, make sure that, you know, there's a lot of nonsense on there, but sometimes important stuff. Make sure everything's all right there. I might go on my Twitter or X feed, you know, look at stuff. Every 30 minutes, typically, I just, you know, look at it a little bit and then put it back. Well, Kevin, like, this is after he caught all his fish, did the damage, you know. And I'm like, okay, it's settling down here. I can, you know, just check it. And he goes, you look at that thing a lot. I'm like, you think I look at it a lot? You see the rest? I'm like, you know, we got 8 hours out here. I mean, you know, I can multitask. That's what I told him, you know, and he kind of smirked, but at the same time, I was like, I get it. I'm like, I am not gonna look at this phone all day, and my phone is like cracked to me, man. I mean, honestly, I am addicted to it. And so, you know, so it's like, how is this thing? And I go, I can't, you know, I've never not been able to look at it. So then, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at my phone only during battery changes. And on breaks, so that, you know, and it worked, reasonable. Honestly, I gave Kevin the respect that I felt like he, you know, wanted, but it's funny how it's like, he kind of sets the parameters, and it's like, his game is always elevated. I'm like, okay, got it. It's just like, Mr. Spin, and I realize the, you know, importance of the day too. So I'm fine, man. I'm working with Van Damme. I'm giving him exactly what he needs to do to win this thing. And all in all, I mean, it was for a fan of this sport for so many years. It was a tremendous day. It was a lot of fun. And tomorrow, I got to get some sleep. I got to get this thing uploaded. How are we doing on time, Kelly?
15 minutes over.
All right. Oh. So just want to end.
Gives you some edits.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
what we wanted.
But I wanted to thank each and every one of you guys for doing this. I know it's been these are long weeks, obviously, and I know long days for you to come out here and do this. It really means a lot to me. And I get, I'm kind of a sappy person, I guess, but I said this probably the last podcast, but especially the stuff that we go through, you know. And I want to say, too, this has been, in some respects, a very difficult year. And you guys are family. You really, and I'm getting emotional. But I think the world of you, and we go through a lot of hell. And I think that makes our friendship even stronger, this bond, you know. So I just wanted to say that,
We love you, Greg.
More yeah. of the reason that yeah. more so. Of the reason that I'm out here than to film or to, you know, put the streaming of the fishing on. Although enjoy that, but it's the people, it's the guys, it's the guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you guys sucked, I definitely wouldn't do this.
Yeah. No,
not at all.
No.
And that really, like, it really kind of encompasses, you know. This whole production crew, Kelly. I mean, I feel very lucky.
No, I think you guys suck, and I'm quitting.
So. Kelly's quitting.
Can I go with you?
So on that note, if you guys anything else you guys want to say, but I
love you, Greg.
I got a little Van Damme story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It was way back. This is really this was like one of the first times I was working with him. It was on back when we were just doing the cups. And I was in the boat. I wasn't with him, but he was just smoking everybody back then. On like it seemed like every other cup he won, you know. And before Wheeler came on, and was starting to do it, but we were at this lake, and it was full of stumps. I can't remember the name of the lake, but it had these little passageways through it. And I was with Byron Velvet. I don't know, The Bachelor. The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So Byron, I'm with Byron. And it's towards the end of the third period, and he's kind of frantic because he actually almost has a chance to make a cut. And he's bouncing off of stumps going through there, just trying to catch a fish. And then we get stuck. He hits a stump, and we're stuck, and we're kind of pivoting around. We're not really going anywhere. And here comes KVD up this, you know, the channel. It's probably from here to Kelly. And here comes Van Damme up that channel. He's hauling butt, you know, 60 miles an hour. And Velvet doesn't even, like, get surprised or anything. He just turns and zings his lure right at Kevin's boat.
Really?
And I was looking at him. He looks at me. He goes, "All the fish follow Kevin." He was just throwing his lure behind his boat.
Did he catch one?
No, but it was hilarious. I was like, okay, got it.
That, I can't beat that. That's classic. But I was with Kevin, I think, maybe last year or the year before. I don't remember where, of course. But he was second, third day, something like that. So he already had his fish located and stuff. But he was fishing and fishing hard like he does. And he wasn't catching them. Changing lures, you know. I mean, he might have, you know, a minute change, whatever it was. He started catching them. And he turned around and gave me this look. It wasn't a wink. It wasn't a nod. It wasn't a smirk. It was kind of a mixture of everything. I can see him turn around looking at me right now, but he just kind of like, oh yeah,
it's on.
Like it's on. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he won it, but
yeah,
it was like a Kevin moment. Like,
Yeah.
I'm sure he did that to me too, but I was probably looking at my phone.
Uh-huh. You're the one.
Well, should we wrap this up? I appreciate.
You got anything else?
I think I need to get to bed. I'm starting to like. I got to get ready for the championship day tomorrow. Yeah, all of us do. Yeah, so
it's, I have noticed you on your A game this week. I've made a mental note that I said Greg is like. He's going the extra mile this week.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a part of, like, a small part of history, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, this is A-game stuff. Thank you, man.
It's actually big history for the Bass World.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
If he wins this tournament, that is huge. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah.
There's also a chance that, I mean, there's all four of us here, or three of us, could see somebody win $200,000.
Oh yeah!
If Ott wins, if Matt wins, if Wheeler wins, they could walk away with $200,000 because I think the Angler of the Year is $100,000.
Yeah, $100,000 for Angler of the Year, and we so winning 5%? It. Yes, yeah. we get a substantial tip if we're with the winner.
You got to pay in 10% and then get 5% back.
Not that I remember, although you know.
But there's a lot at stake because four of us here could be. You making history with Kevin.
Yep.
You making history with Ott. You making history with Wheeler, which would be what, three? Are you with Wheeler?
Three.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
That would be the
three AOIs in a row.
AOIs.
You know, and I'm with Matt Becker, who's still in the hunt too. I mean, it's pretty wild what we got going up tomorrow.
It is one of the craziest championship, one of the most momentous, I will say, maybe the of the Bass Pro Tour. It's got to be, right? Championship tomorrow.
So I just want to say this. Anybody who wants to follow, just follow me on Facebook because I'll be on my phone all day posting about it, and you can just keep up with every minute of it.
Are you plugging your show on his show?
I love it. It's cross-promotion.
I'm sorry.
On that note, let's wrap it up. These are my brothers here. Love you guys. Here's to a fantastic season. I love you guys, man.
Awesome.